The British Broadcasting Corporation presents London Forum, a weekly program in which we bring prominent personalities to the microphone to discuss important topics of the day. Here is Frank Byers, chairman of the Liberal Party Executive, to open the program.
This is Frank Byers introducing this week's London Forum. For the past few weeks, London Forum has dealt almost exclusively with international affairs. In this way, it has, of course, reflected the main preoccupation of the British people. But these international events also have serious repercussions on our personal affairs in Britain. And tonight, we hope to concentrate almost entirely on home affairs. As a matter of fact, although there has been one foreign affairs debate, Parliament itself has for the last few days been concentrating on the coal situation, the shortage of meat, the takeover date for the nationalisation of iron and steel, the rearmament drive, and similar problems. And underlying it all is, of course, the increasing cost of living. Tonight we have with us Miss Jenny Lee, a Labour Member of Parliament, and Mr. David Eccles, a Conservative Member of Parliament. And we hope to find out from them what the two major parties are thinking about these things. But before that, I'm going to ask them a question. Recently, there was a survey of public opinion, and it showed that there'd been a remarkable changeover by the electorate since October. 4 months ago, 46% of the people were apparently supporting the Labour Party, and 44% the Conservative Party. But the figures for January show that the Conservatives now have 51% and the Labour Party only 38%. The Liberal vote has remained steady at 10%. This seems to indicate that if a general election took place in the near future, that the Conservatives would be returned with a very big majority. Now, I should like to ask Eccles whether he thinks that the Conservative Party really has got increased support recently, and if so, where has it come from, Eccles?
Well, Byers, I'm not much of a believer in polls, but all the same, there has been a big change. I think I've got more support in my part of the world, first from housewives. The British housewife is doing a lot of economic thinking in her kitchen just now, and she's come to the conclusion that what with the difficulty of getting meat and the rising prices for the things she buys, there must be a muddle somewhere. And she puts it down to the government, and she says whatever her husband may tell her to do, she's going to vote Conservative next time. There's one other lot of people who I think have changed, and that's a good many of the artisans. I find that they're getting annoyed that the gap in wages between the unskilled worker and the skilled worker continually narrows, and they're not so well off as they were before. And if you add those two sections together, it doesn't take very many of them to make the difference that this poll apparently discovered.
Well, Miss, thank you very much. Miss Lee, I'm not going to ask you to agree with Eccles, but can you...
Well, to a certain extent, Frank Byers, I do agree with Mr. Eccles. I agree with him, for instance, that the Gallup poll is not a scientific thing, but if I was asked to make an estimate of the public mood in recent months, I would have said there had been a moving away from the government and probably a moving towards the Conservative Party. Anything else would have been astonishing because the government has been... I hope David Eccles will now continue to agree with me. I repeat, anything else would have been astonishing because the government has been hard at work gearing our economy to defence needs. And the press of the country has been exploiting it, and David Eccles' party has been having a merry old time. I hope he won't think I'm being personal if I say you've been playing around like a lot of irresponsible playboys. You've been talking about building 300,000 houses, 50% more than our maximum. You've been talking about giving more to the housewife, getting more for defence. You've never been adding up the sum. Your powerful Tory press has been supporting you. But I hope that Frank Byers... you'll observe that once we had a serious debate on those things last week in the House of Commons, we begin to tell the British public what is happening, and I've got faith in the British public. It doesn't like to be sold short measure by the Tory party.
No, it doesn't like short measure in meat from the Minister of Food. He doesn't give them any measure at all.
There, I agree again. I agree it doesn't like short measure, but it likes independence, and the fact that we now no longer have martial aid, the fact that this country has got the guts and the character and the dignity to do without things rather than keep ourselves in a position of permanent mendicants is very sweet on the palate.
Well, now, before we go any further, let us get one thing established. I take it that we all agree that a real rearmament drive, a real defence programme, is absolutely vital. Now, the real point is, how are we going to go set about getting adequate defences, and what repercussion is that going to have on our home economy? Would you like to say something on that, Eccles?
Well, of course, the Conservative Party backs up the government in all measures to improve our defences. We're not sure that they go far enough. And in this direction, it's all very well to produce a large total of money which you say you're going to spend over 3 years. The question really is, what are you going to do in 1951? Are we going to start with sufficient vigour to deter the Russians and to encourage the Europeans to follow our example? Well, we doubt that the Labour Party will start with vigour. Secondly, we doubt their administrative ability. We think they are bad managers and that they've managed smaller sums of money, shockingly, and therefore we don't like the thought of such huge sums of money being left to the same bad managers.
Yes, please.
Well, I notice, Mr. Eccles, that you've kept it to very abstract terms. You've talked about bad management, but I think it might interest our friends abroad to be given some of the facts. And the facts are, they were given in the House of Commons last week, that if you compare what the expenditure of this country on defence programme with that of our friends and allies, that in the United Kingdom in 1949 we were spending 7.2% of our national income, Canada was spending 2.9%, Australia 6%, the USA 5.9%, France, 4.2%, New Zealand, 2.2%. Now, I make this statement in order to ensure that our Labour government in Great Britain takes the defence of this country very seriously, and the figures show just how far we have been gearing our resources to defence needs.
Ah, but I'm not so much interested in the total amount of money which your people have been spending. What we want is value for the money. And it's our contention that having spent £4,000 million or more since the war on defence, we've got very little to show for it. And now when we hear that another £4,000 or more is to be spent in a shorter time, we want to see it laid out to greater advantage.
Well, I'm quite sure, Mr. Eccles, that we could get more for our money if we reduced the pay of our soldiers, for instance.
Oh,
we
Ms. could get Lee, more. No, don't bring that up.
Well, now, that would make it cheaper, wouldn't it? You've said you want to see how we could get more for
but
our money.
Let's quickly agree that both parties have no intention of reducing the pay of the forces.
I think that's agreed.
Yes, that is agreed, but my quarrel with you, Mr. Eccles, is that while you agree on a point like that, affecting the living standards of the soldiers, then you don't specify where you think you're not getting value. Now, I'm not a military expert, and I'm not going to pretend to be. And I'm quite sure in Canada and Australia, America, elsewhere, people are always saying, why are we spending all this money and apparently seem to have such inadequate end results? Now, I'm not an expert on that. All I am saying is, you're buying in this country on the same markets, the same international markets, and that we have shown just how seriously we take the defence problems of our country and of the world by how much of our income we are setting aside to meet those needs.
I think the question which we ought to answer, and perhaps Eccles will answer it, is where do you think we could get better value for money in the expenditure of this £4,700 million in the next 3 years?
Well, I don't want to go into the question of how many combat formations we have or the difficulties we have to make our small forces go round. But I'd rather take you up, Byers, on the question of the expenditure of money. Now, for instance, stockpiling is one of the forms of rearmament. Well, we have accumulated in this country considerable extra gold reserves in the last year. But at the same time, we've run down our stocks of raw materials. Now, no businessman would have done that. He would have noticed that prices were going to rise, and he'd have laid in stocks in good time. Well, yesterday the Chancellor of the Exchequer told... was it yesterday? No, it was a day or two ago. The Chancellor of the Exchequer told us that £140 million were going to be spent on stockpiling, but they were going to be taken out of our gold reserve. Now, he'll only get half the raw materials for that, which he would have got if he'd had some foresight. That's the kind of bad management which shakes our confidence.
But well, in the last election, I think Miss Lee will bear me out, didn't the Conservative Party say they wanted to reduce government expenditure? How do you relate that, your view now, with your view in February?
Well, I'm sorry to think that great many changes in the international system situation. Did any of us think in February that the North Koreans would attack the South?
No, but you said...
Well, I think... Thanks, Mr. Byers. I think that you've answered the question. I think David Eccles has given the answer, and he's also given the question and also given the answer. But I would also say that once before, when we were having a discussion, that you were extremely gloomy about this country's credit abroad, about the value of sterling. In fact, I've never met you, Mr. Eccles, when you haven't been extremely gloomy about your country's prospects.
Oh, no, that's not so.
That is true.
That is not so.
And at that time, you were saying, oh, we hadn't gold reserves. Devaluation wouldn't be the last of it. There would be further devaluation. Now, I think the government has done a very sensible and a very hard job in building up the credit of this country abroad, which has had all kinds of valuable repercussions, both in terms of economics and in terms of defense, and we've had to do that against all the gloomy Jeremiah nonsense talked by Mr. Eccles' party.
Well, now, the point really is, how are we going to carry out this rearmament drive? Are we going to leave it to a free economy? Are we going to go in for controls? Are we going to cut our housing program in order to get the defenses we want? What are we going to do? Let's have some definite answers.
Well, one of the things we must not do is to nationalize the steel industry. I read in your liberal newspaper, Byers, the News Chronicle, a very good remark. They said to begin rearmament by nationalizing steel is like starting an omelette by dropping the egg.
Well, of course, nationalisation, the corporation's already been taken over, has already taken over the steel industry.
Yes.
Are you going to denationalise it? If so, how?
Well, that depends when we get in. If we've pledged ourselves to denationalise it, but of course, if Miss Lee can keep us out for 5 years, it'll be rather difficult to do. But I don't think she will. I think we'll get in quicker than that, and then we certainly will denationalise steel.
Yes, of course, I'm rather shocked. You know, Mr. Eccles.
You always
because
are.
Because I think it's very important in Great Britain that whatever our politics are, that we should sustain democratic institutions. And quite clearly, Parliament, the people of this country, consulted again and again, have decided that they want control of the steel industry. Now, I take an exactly opposite point of view on that. I do not believe that steel can be left to the caprice of private enterprise, nor do I believe that the advantages of steel should be in private hands and only the responsibilities in the control of the government. The steel industry let us down in the past when its expansion wasn't equal to our needs. We are facing a very dangerous and a very difficult future, and therefore our government, our Labour government, has carried through the responsible step of making quite sure that we shall have proper control over the steel industry.